There's one piece of writing. Of course, I've Rav Soloveitchik was known very, very much for his passion about the study of Torah. You know, if there was one thing that he was known for more than anything else, probably it would be about his passion for the study of Torah. And I came across a piece of writing I had never seen. I don't think I'd ever seen this particular piece of writing from Rav Soloveitchik. And I've seen a lot of what Rav Soloveitchik has written. I don't think I'd ever seen this. It came from some random lecture. It wasn't published anywhere. Some random lecture he gave at one time that he was talking about on this week's Parsha Vayelech. So in terms of what was worth waking up for this morning, we'll see something which hopefully you'll find as special and as powerful as I found it. But anyway, we begin, and again, almost all of Rav Soloveitchik's comments this week, almost everything is about Talmud Torah. There are actually two areas where the mitzvah of the study of Torah. You know, it's interesting. One of my friends put out a Haggadah, like everybody else, a few years ago. One of my friends put out a Haggadah, and the Haggadah is a beautiful, beautiful Haggadah. It's the Haggadah of the Torah of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Cook, and Shlomo Kalbach. That was the Haggadah. And so basically, Rav Soloveitchik is all about Torah, Rav Cook is all about Eretz Yisrael, and Shlomo Kalbach is all about Avos Yisrael. So basically, you see the world through your own eyes. So Rav Soloveitchik saw in the entire Haggadah only, you know, a lot of Talmud Torah. Rav Cook somehow saw in all of the Haggadah all about Eretz Yisrael. And Shlomo Kalbach saw in every word of the Haggadah, Avos Yisrael, I have to have a love every Jew. I kind of usually give a mashal to this. Like, basically, if you're not feeling well and you go to a doctor, so the cardiologist says it's a problem with your heart, the stomach doctor says it's a problem with your stomach, the neurologist says, every doctor sees all your problems through their lens. That's what I've generally found. Obviously, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but hopefully you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so the parasha actually has two themes which surround Talmud Torah. So not surprisingly, Rav Soloveitchik was attracted to those two areas particularly. The first one is the mitzvah of Hakel. The mitzvah of Hakel. What was the mitzvah of Hakel? Every 7 years, after the Shemitah year, on Sukkot, there was this massive ma'amad where the entirety of the Jewish people would get together and the king would read Sefer Dvarim. Fascinating. Fascinating ma'amad. So let's just read what the Chumash says. You can take a look on page, either look on 595, or you could just look at the top of the sheets, because I have the psukim there also. So Pasuk says, it's actually the bottom of 595. Vayitzav Moshe osam lemor. So Moshe commands the Jewish people about the mitzvah of Hakel. Miketz sheva shanim after 7 years, m'moed shnasa shmita after the Shemitah year, b'chag asukos. So it's really Sukkot of the 8th year. Some say it's Sukkot of the 7th year. Most authorities say it's the 8th year. The entire Jewish people is up in Yerushalayim anyway doing Aliyah L'Regel. Tikras HaTorah Azos Nen Kosev Bazneim. Hakel Sa'am HaNoshim HaNoshim V'Ataf. The men, women, and children. And the Gerim. L'man Yishmu U'L'man Yilmedu. So they should hear and they should learn. V'Yaruas Hashem Elokeichem. They will be in awe of Hashem. V'shamru l'asas is called Dibei HaTorah Azos. And they will observe the entirety of the Torah. Interesting. We're just reading Sefer Dvarim, but somehow from this they're going to learn the entirety of the Torah. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. This is going to be great for the kids. If they weren't at Har Sinai, so they'll be able to get something that's sort of like it. Wait a second. Okay, I have to pause this, see if I can pause this. I apologize. 1 second. I forgot my book. 1 minute. That's the new rules of this new thing. So, let's see what Rav Soloveitchik's take on Hakel is. So first of all, he goes off on a little bit of a side piece about Sukkot. First, a little bit about Sukkot. It says something very interesting, which again, I never would have realized this. On Yom Kippur, only an elite group, the Kohanim and Yakira Yushalayim, witnessed the glorious avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Only a select few heard the explicit pronunciation of the Shem Hashem on Yom Kippur. The nobility accompanied the Kohen Gadol to and from the Beis HaMikdash. Only they had stayed awake with the Kohen Gadol the previous night. Those who participated were the aristocracy, of Yerushalayim. But Judaism's survival cannot be based. But Judaism's survival cannot be based on these participants alone. Judaism never considered the Torah to be the inheritance of an elite sect or grouping. Every Jew has a portion of the Torah. All stood at Har Sinai. Knesset Yisrael can only be built and survive with the participation of all Jews. This inclusiveness is represented by Hoshana Rabbah and the Arava ceremony. Now, this to me was somewhat of a chiddush. I guess you have to know the Mishnayos in Yuma well, but Rav Salvation contends that, I mean, I always thought, I don't know, when I always think about the Avod of the Yom Kippur, I always thought that actually the entirety of the Jewish people were all there. Everybody was there. The whole Jewish people was there. Rav Nissen.
Great to see. Doesn't the Medrash say that they were all put together and everybody had their space?
Everybody had a space, but apparently, again, so I don't exactly know what he means here. Well, certainly. Hold on. There were places in the Beis HaMikdash that regular Jews weren't allowed to go. You weren't allowed to go all the way in. So it couldn't be that everybody was. I mean, Kohanim only could go to a certain place, but so I you know, to me, I don't know if anybody has any further clarification or explanation of this would be appreciated. Rav Salvechik assumes, well, certainly at this point, only they had stayed awake with the Kohen Gadol the previous night. Okay, so people who had, apparently on Yom Kippur, there were people who had a closer seat, who had an inner seat, and people who didn't really, weren't really able to really experience the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash in the same way. Again, we could do research on that. But his point is, again, you could take that point, his point is that Sukkos comes right after Yom Kippur to highlight the opposite. Because the idea of Sukkos is every single Jew needs to be part of the Jewish people. We are one people. Every single Jew counts. And he quotes here, this is a quote from Drashot Harav, but he quotes here from the Medrash, a very, very famous Medrash that you all heard. Let's take a look at it inside. Pre-Eitz Hadar, so on Sukkot, we take the Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, and Arabos. Pre-Eitz Hadar, Elu Yisrael. This is a reference to the Jewish people. This is Medrash Rabbah on this pasuk. L'kachtem l'chem v'yom arishon pre-Eitz Hadar, kapos t'marim manaf eitz avos arvi enochal. So we all know the Lulav and Esrog is a reference to the Jewish people. Ma Esrog ze yesh botam yesh borech. Esrog has taste and smell. Kach Yisrael. Some yesh behem b'nei Adam. There are some people who learn Torah and do Masim Tovim. Kapos Tamarim, that's the date palm, which has taste but not smell. So to the Jewish people, some of them have Torah and not Masim Tovim. Anaf Eitz Avos, Elu Yisrael, like Hadassim, that has a smell but not a taste. That's referring to Jews that have Masim Tovim but don't study Torah. And Arava, what about the Arava? The Arava represents that Jew who has no taste and no smell. That's the Jew who doesn't do Masim Tovim and does not study Torah. Said of Salvechik. It's interesting that on Sukkos, we dafka highlight the Arava. We highlight the Arava. The Arava takes part in two mitzvahs. Maybe even midoraisa. But two mitzvos on Sukkos. Not only does the Arava part of the Lulav and Esrog, but in the Beis HaMikdash there was a whole ceremony with the Arava as well, which we do, of course, we recreated on Hoshana Rabbah. But in the Beis HaMikdash there was a ceremony. So he says, the first three, Lulav, Esrog, and Hadassim, represent certain types of individuals with varying accomplishments. The Esrog is both taste of mitzvos and the smell of Torah. Mitzvos and the Torah. Lulav contains the taste of mitzvos and the Hadas contains the smell of Torah. Their external appearance is attractive. In contrast, the Arava displays none of these attributes. Yet the Torah says that if a Jew has neither Torah nor mitzvos to his credit, the deficiency is only external. Those who are represented by the Arava cannot manifest themselves in the same way that the other three species can, but beneath the surface, deep in the soul, the Arava has the same potential as the other species. The difference is that the other species have had the opportunity to develop, to actualize themselves, to build on the strengths, while the Arava has not. While the other three species take part in only one mitzvah, the lowly Arava participates in two mitzvahs on Sukkot, as part of the four minim, and in the Arava ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash. The entire ritual on Hoshana Rabbah revolves around the Arava. On Sukkot, all Jews must be brought into the Beis HaMikdash, not just the elite, like on Yom Kippur. Those represented by the Esrogim, Adasim, Lulavim were already there from Yom Kippur. Only the Arava was missing. Sukkot is dedicated to inclusion of the Arava into the Beis HaMikdash as well. Of course, the idea here, of course, being that, and the truth is that on Yom Kippur, we think about these things a lot. I'm actually thinking a little bit about this on Yom Kippur also, about all the generations and saying Yizkor on Yom Kippur, how all the generations of Jews from all generations are all as one in the shul. That's why we say, even in Yom Kippur, we say, Anu matir l'hispalim harayonim, b'yeshiva shalmala, b'yeshiva shalmata. Anu matir, in Klal Yisrael, we have this idea that even people who are sinners, even people who have no merits, they don't study Torah, they don't do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, if they were born Jewish, they have Kedushas Yisrael. We have this idea called Yisrael HaPishachot Yisrael. We have this idea. So Rav Soloveitchik is stressing that, and he says this on the Pasuk. He says on the Pasuk, V'vo kol Yisrael l'chag HaSukkos, right? It says, B'vo kol Yisrael le'eros HaSmash HaLechecha. And it's on Chag HaSukkos. So he stresses that the Torah here is hinting. The Torah here is hinting about the fact that Chag HaSukkos has a representation of all of Klal Yisrael. There's something about all Jews being together in Beis HaMikdash on Chag HaSukkos, and the Arava celebrates particularly that Jew that did not really feel connected, but Sukkot was a way, the rituals of Sukkot are a way of connecting even those people who are unaffiliated. Point number one. But let's get into the discussion of Hakel itself. Very, very beautiful. Hakel sa'am ha'anashim va'anashim va'ataf. Men, women, and children. And of course, in the time of the Torah, the women did not really have a formal education as much. Earlier periods in Jewish history. And certainly the children, it means even the small little kids. So the Gemara asks, take a look at the next source on the sheet. Famous Gemara. Let's go in order. Before we get to that. A little bit of a side point first, but I think appropriate, probably most of us daven in shuls on Yom Kippur, where there are a lot of people. I assume most of us probably daven in a shul where there are, hundreds of people, most people. So there's this idea in Judaism called, interesting idea, Barov Am Hadras Melech. Barov Am Hadras Melech. What does it mean, Barov Am Hadras Melech? That somehow, when Jews get together to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's this idea that the larger the group that you are in, the greater is the glory of the king in that group. And there's something to be said for that. And Salvation just pointed out. Now again, we live in a time where, sort of like the shtiebelization of America. Everybody has that house minion that they go to, for Friday night, because nobody can spend the few minutes that it takes to get to the shul. Everybody likes their own little, private. And there's something to that also, in the sense that people are looking for their own personal connections. Sometimes when you're in a very large group, you don't really so feel connected. You dive in at a big shul when most of anyone here who's over my age or older, when most of us were growing up, you did not have this phenomenon. Like, I think right now, within walking distance to my house, there are 30 shuls. But I think without exaggeration, probably about 30 shuls in the walking distance. And each one has like 10 people in it. When I was growing up, certainly when my early years, when I was younger than 10 years, I grew up in Teaneck, there was one shul, and then there was two shuls. But now in the same geographic area that when I was growing up, there were two shuls in Teaneck. Now there are probably about 40, probably. So it's a whole it's a whole different. Now, again, if you grew up in Borough Park, you know, maybe it wasn't. Yeah, but even
Brooklyn, like,
I know. Okay, true. But even in the 60s, I mean, in the 60s in Borough Park, I don't know if it was quite that much, but it wasn't as much as there is today. Not much today's every house. You know, they were literally on the same block as 10. But growing up, it still wasn't as much. But we shouldn't forget in these, you know, in the age of like house minyanim and small shtiebels and that, we shouldn't forget this idea of Barova Madras Melech. So Soloveitchik, interestingly, says Pshat in an obvious Mishnah in Brachos, but let's take a look. Neged Kol Yisrael. So Hakel, there was an idea of Hakel that you had to have Gantz Klal Yisrael there. You couldn't have your own shtiebel for Hakel. You weren't allowed to do that. That's not the mitzvah. There's dafka mitzvah. You had to be with Gans Klai. So maybe Yom Kippur again. I don't know, but Yom Kippur is certainly a time when we think about standing in shul with lots of Jews. There's this idea called Barova Madras Melech. We should appreciate the fact that those rare times that we actually get to daven with hundreds of people, or let's say one of the great powers of the Siyum HaShas, which is coming up in a little while, and one of the reasons why the Siyum HaShas itself, the event itself, and he's going to talk about this, I don't know if I have time, but the event itself has had such a powerful impact on people. I know so many people who have gone to the Siyum HaShas. My own father had his commitment, he started his commitment to Daf Yomi. He had a good friend. My father had a good friend. You know, I like to say, when you're a rabbi, so usually you don't have that much money yourself, but you have a lot of good friends who do have a lot of money. So that's usually the way it works when you're a rabbi. So my father, at one of the early Siyum HaShases, you know, so he had a friend who was at Madison Square Garden. Maybe it was like, I guess, 3 or 4 Siyums ago, something like that. It was at Madison Square Garden. So if you had season tickets to Madison Square Garden, so you get a box. You know, you get a box with like food, and you have a whole matzah. Like people like me, we never dream about seeing a ball game like that. I could never dream about that. You know, but my father had a good, very good friend. Big balabas involved in one of the schools he was involved in. You probably all know who he is, a very famous guy. He's a very good friend. He said, you know, my father didn't ever learn Daf Yomi. He said, you know, I have a box at the at Madison Square Garden for the Siyum HaShas. Maybe you should, why don't you come along? So my father said, you know, sure, you know. He went to the Siyum HaShas, and my mother just reminded me of this just like on Yom Kippur, actually. We were talking about this. Because on Rosh Hashanah, she just reminded me of this. Just this past Rosh Hashanah, she reminded me of this. I hadn't really remembered this, that this is how my father got started. We were finishing Shas 3 times through the Daf Yomi. was only because this Balabas invited him to go to sit at the box at Madison Square Garden. So because on Rosh Hashanah, I had spoken about, you know, taking upon yourself new things and how there's people, you know, I know people from the neighborhood who started life, I mean, I'm talking about lifelong careers and learning every minute of the day, all started from just attending a Siyum HaShas at Daf Yomi. Just going and seeing, again, there used to be, and my father went, it was, let's say, Madison Garden holds, I don't know, 20,000. And now, the last one, they had 90,000 at MetLife Stadium, saying, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah with 90,000 people. There's an idea called Barov HaMadras Melech, that you feel a sense of the Rabbeinu Shlom's presence greater when there's a lot of people. So that was the idea of Hakel. The idea of Hakel was to have a maimon, to have Gans Klal Yisrael together. When I was a kid, I felt this very much. I felt this at NCSY Shabbatones. That was for me. I would go. I was a high school kid, and I grew up in Teaneck. In Teaneck, in those days, my family was the 130th from family in Teaneck. You know, so Teaneck in that those days was not. Now there's 3,000. My family was the 130th from family in Teaneck. Today there's 3,000 from families in Teaneck. So when we were growing up, like I said, there was 2 shuls. You know, when I was growing up, earlier it was only 1 shul. Then when I was like 5, so Beth Aaron, there was 2 shuls. 2 shuls. You know, B'nai Sharon was there forever, and then Beth Aaron. It was a small town. Teaneck was a small town. My shul was a small shul. I would go to an SCY Shabbaton. There was 300 high school kids coming together to sing together. It made a very big impact on me to have. Well, I picked that up. That's why in the yeshiva I like to try to have things like that. One night I like to have this thing called the parent son Malava Malka. Bring together a lot of people together. There's a thing. There's something about Barovam Hadras Melech. That's why I feel very strong. Anyway, Soloveitchik says like this: the larger the gathering, the more conspicuous is the presence of the Shechina. This principle is expressly articulated in connection with benching of all places. Famous Mishnah and Brachas. Weird Mishnah. We don't think about this at all. Take a look. You have it on the sheets in front of you. Ketzad Mezamnin. If you have three people, you say Nevarich Shachal Mishalo. B'shloshu Ahu Omer Baruch Hu. Ba'asar you say Nevarich Al Kena. Now, that we're familiar with. All of us are familiar with the fact that when you bench with three people, you say Shachal Mishalo. When you have 10 people, you say Nevarich Elokeinu. What we probably don't remember, unless we think very carefully back to the Mishnahs and Brachos, is that the Mishnah actually says something else. I don't think we pass into this halacha lemaisa. I've been to weddings where they bench with more than 100 people. I don't think the text is any different, but we don't follow this opinion. But Rav Soloveitchik points to this Mishnah to teach us a very important lesson. B'meya hu amavarech nevarech Hashem elokeinu. With 1,000, it has a different text. And with 10,000, the Mishnah says a different text. And with 100,000, it's a different text. Why? Again, we don't follow this opinion. But it's Torah. What's the logic of this opinion? Barov Am Hadras Melech. The greater the amount of Jews there, the greater is the honor for the king. And you have an obligation to express Hashem's kavod in a different way depending on how many people were there. So you have this idea, even in the Mishnah called Barov Am Hadras Melech. So he says that's what Haka was about. Fine. You know what? Because we're getting, let's you know, we're going to skip a drop. Hopefully we'll come back to it. I got to read you this piece. That's why you woke up this morning. I got it. We really only have two pieces left. Oh. Here we go. I typed out the whole thing for you in English. You got to see this because you got to take this home with you. If I was you, I would take it home and like just post this somewhere in your office or somewhere. I don't know. Post it in your house somewhere. This is amazing. This is amazing. So he's explaining. You know that the way the Torah tells us the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah, it says kislu lachem es hashira hazos. Write this song. The Torah describes the Torah as a song. Kisul lechem es hashira hazos. The Torah describes Torah as a song. Let's read what Rav Soloveitchik has to say about this. I was so blown away by this that I typed out the whole thing for you so you should have it. Take a look. Let's read it together. The process of learning is an intellectual performance, while singing is an emotional performance. The aesthetic experience, the artistic experience, is more. I'm going to add some commentary here, but is much more dynamic than the intellectual experience. The intellectual experience can often be dreary, anemic. You hear this? This is Rav Soloveitchik, the ultimate, who people think is the ultimate intellectual, coming from the brisker, cold, Litvisha tradition. He says, the intellectual experience can often be anemic, like dead. The aesthetic experience, that the one of music and art, is of a dynamic, hypnotic nature. It fascinates, arouses passion, and has the power of awakening hidden desires and aspirations. Music! Now, this obviously spoke to me a lot because I happen to be very, very into music. But music is a most powerful means to arouse man. It shares with the religious experience the tremor and the excitement, the longing and the joy one feels when confronted with something exalted, beautiful and sublime. This also spoke to me very powerfully. If the intellectual experience would consistently engage the emotions like music does, all students would excel and teachers would have no trouble in the classroom. Right? If shir every morning was like a blasting, you know, I don't know, a blasting, upbeat, you know, Mordechai Shapiro concert. If that's what shir was every morning for the kids, if they would walk in and have this blasting music, you know, exciting them at the top of their lungs, you know, we try, the Rebbe's try, but It is therefore no surprise that the organ was introduced in houses of worship, something that many Orthodox rabbis have a big problem with. Interesting. Okay, well, that's a whole nother discussion. Nowadays, you have a musical halals in certain places. My Rebbe, Rebbe Mordechai Willig, has forbidden us to do that in DRS, even though many outstanding Torah scholars have introduced things like that. He thinks it smacks too much of the Reform who introduced the organ. It's interesting that Soloveitchik is sort of hedging it. You know,
talking about musical halal with an instrument.
I do musical halals without instruments. I'm talking about with an instrument, of course. No. Chas v'shalom. That's how Rabbi Willig, he sings the whole halal. There's a lot of singing. But when we wanted to do it here in DRS to bring like instruments to get the kids excited, more excited about halal, he was against it. You know, interesting. Moshe Lema Adoradov, Rav Soloveitchik was against the. He wouldn't even say the tefillah al shalom hamadina because Rav Soloveitchik didn't in shul. He wouldn't say the tefillah al shalom hamadina, not because he wasn't in favor of the medina. He did not like introducing changes in the liturgy of the davening. Similar because Reform and Conservative had done many, many changes. He didn't want to change. Anyway, the aesthetic musical experience is a total one. The whole of man is immersed in it. The same should be true of Talmud Torah. The teacher is the Almighty. And through study, we meet the great teacher. We sit at his feet and we listen to him eagerly. The experience of Talmud Torah, I sent this out to all the DRS rabbis last night when I saw this. The experience, I tweeted it also, but you have to follow me on Twitter. But the experience of Talmud Torah is total, all comprehensive, and all penetrating. It is a mystical experience. It is the melody which was once sung by the Shulamit of the Song of Songs when she was yearning for her beloved. This is unbelievable, this next line. This next line is unbelievable. Chazal sternly rebuked a person who is guilty of forgetting even one single word of the Torah. This is an incredible mission in Pirkei Avos. The mission in Pirkei Avos says, if you learn one word of Torah and you forget it, you're chayv misa. That's the mission of Pirkei Avos. The reason I'm looking at you is because I'm saying to myself, if this is true, I was chayav misa around 100,000 times in my life.
Okay.
This is a scary Mishnah. This is a scary Mishnah. But it's a Mishnah. I didn't make it up. Okay. Well, it doesn't quite exactly say that. You've got to read the Mishnah carefully. Mishnah, I should have had it in Hebrew for you. I actually do have it in Hebrew for you. Take a look on the top over there. Look in the top in Hebrew. Rabbi Distoyber, Rabbi Yadim Shomei Omer, Kol HaShochech Davar Echad MiMishnaso. Anyone who forgets one word of his learning, one word, Barry, learning.
I feel better.
Davar Echad MiMishnaso. Male Olav HaKosuv, the Torah considers it as if. So it's not quite the same thing. But Male HaKosuv, Kilu Mischayev B'Nasho. You forgot a word of your learning? The Pasuk considers it as if you chayiv misa. It's as if you chayiv misa. The interesting thing to study, how many things are as if you chayiv misa, right? You mabul p'nei chavarach, rabbis ki l'shon chudam, okay? If you chayiv misa, shenemar, rak yishom elecho shomor nafshecha ma'od, watch out for your soul, pentishkech has advar. It's not the way the Ramban learns the Pasuk very famously, but okay, Rashi actually learns it this way. If you forget your words of Torah, it's kishomer, watch out for your life. Watch out for your life. What? That's crazy. Every time you forgot one word, are you learning? Yechayev misa when you forgot one word, are you learning? What in the world does that mean? Listen to Rav's pshat. The severe penalty is due to the fact that forgetfulness is the result of limited involvement. If the study of Torah had been a total experience, it could never be forgotten. If one learns only with his mind, he is apt to forget. If there is total absorption, the mind stimulated, the heartbeat accelerated, the imagination fired, the emotions awakened, then Talmud Torah is a beautiful into a beautiful melody which can be forgotten. How come we never forgot those beautiful songs, he says. You don't forget the song. How do you forget what you learned? If you're learning there's a song, you won't forget that either. Azai Zuckman. Just a little... So I don't have this, and let me just one sentence I left out, and let me just inject again on purpose. I left that, and let me just inject again what Talmud Torah meant to me during those three bleak and dreary years, which have taken their toll in terms of mental agony, loneliness, and desolation. The fact that I have survived intellectually, emotionally during the bleak years of mourning, mental agony, loneliness, and desolation is only due to my commitment to Torah. Now you have it back again. My commitment to Torah is a total one. I have one love. not my wife, not my kids. I have, and it's not that he didn't love his wife and his kids. I have one love. This is Torah. I am not a mystic. Yet while studying the Gemara, I always feel that someone is with me, that a mysterious friend, teacher, companion watches over me. If Talmud Torah were just an intellectual experience, performance, I would not have experienced the unseen presence of the teacher. The idea of God being the teacher changes the whole concept of learning and studying Torah. The study of Torah is not a mere intellectual performance consisting of formal comprehension, but is rather an experience of a cathartic, redemptive, and mystical nature which overwhelms man with vigor and ecstasy, and which sinks into the deepest recesses of his personality. Talmud Torah can only be understood within the mystical frame of reference. Learning is simply a dialogue, a colloquy. Any English majors here? A colloquy, colloquium, conversation between God and man, between an all-wise teacher and an all-ignorant pupil. So here you have the master of Torah study, the master, Rav Soloveitchik, in my lifetime, the one who is the greatest master of Torah study, whose words I've ever been exposed to, who some people will cast and categorize as a kalta litvak, as a dry intellectual speaking about the musical quality of Talmud Torah. That's why the Torah says, Kisvu lochem es hashira hazos. When the Torah is talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it says, write the song. Because Talmud Torah is supposed to be an experiential thing, not just of the mind. It engages your whole senses. I was so moved by this description. Yeah.
Rabbi Haim, it's so funny that you said, Rabbi Haim just told me 2 nights ago that Rabbi Yoshe does Chuvash Drasha every year. He called it theatric. He said it was theater.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a whole, you're right, a great Rebbe, a great teacher, knows how to be an actor in the middle of his teaching. He knows how to draw in not only the minds of his students, but to draw in their hearts, to draw in to make it a whole experiential thing.
Life.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and we have one more piece.
Theological discussion.
Colloquy? Thank you. Colloquy, a gathering for discussion of theological questions. Thank you. See, I had no idea. Even after I read it, I had no idea. Okay. I'm glad, but everyone here just took me at my word.
I did.
I knew you did. Okay. Oh, last piece. And this is very beautiful as well. We can go a little bit backwards. So why were the little kids at Hakel? Why were the little kids at Hakel? The truth is, there's more than one last piece. But we'll do one last piece. Why were the little kids there? So very famously, I have the source here for you. One line out of the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, very famous. Take a look on page 1. Hakel Asa'am, Hanashim Hanashim Ataf, Im Anashim Ba'am L'lmod. Men come to learn. Nashim Ba'os L'shmoa. Women come to hear. Taf Lama Ba'in. Why were the kids there? K'dei Litein Schar L'mevi Ehen. To bring reward to those people who brought them. Very strange language at first blush. Let's see Rav Soloveitchik's take on this. The Mishnah relates that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would praise his 5 Talmidim, he would say about Rabbi Yoshua, Ashrei Yoladeto, fortunate is his mother. That was the praise that he said about Yochanan ben Zakkai, fortunate is his mother. When Rabbi Yeshua was still an infant, his mother would bring him in his cradle to the Beis Medrash, so that he would become attuned to the sounds of Torah study even before he was capable of understanding. Very similar idea to what the Rav was talking about before, in a certain way. Thus, most of the credit for Rabbi Yeshua's scholarship was due to his mother. Apparently, when a child hears Torah being studied when he is young, he continues to be influenced by words of Torah when he grows up. Rav Soloveitchik would often say that he grew up as a little kid listening into his house the discussions with all the tzaddikim of his generation would come together to discuss with Moshe Soloveitchik. They would talk about the Rambam. As a little kid, he remembers going to sleep listening to his father trying to defend the Rambam, and he would run out of his and say, "What's going to be? You know, what's going to be with the Rambam?" Maybe one time this story, he ran out. He gave a defense for the Rambam. But what are the kids growing up with? What are the kids growing up seeing and hearing nowadays? What are they seeing? Why did we separate them from their phones here? for a few hours during the day. What are they seeing and hearing all day long? What's being poured into them, spewed into them every single second of the day if you have a cell phone? Every second of the day. So he says, there are two components of the mitzvah of Hakel. To learn and to hear. Right? The men came to learn, the women came to hear. While the first implies understanding, the second is relevant even if one does not understand. Hear this? Rav says there's a point of, now again, he doesn't want to say that the women don't understand. That's not what he's driving at. Again, what does it mean? The Gemara says the men come. That's not what he's driving at. There's plenty of women who understand much better than men. That's not the point. But men have a chi of Talmud Torah, women don't have a chi of Talmud Torah. If women don't have a chi of Talmud Torah, why are they coming to Hakel? Let's look what he says. This duality is reflected in the midst of Kriyas HaTorah and Talmud Torah. One kind of Kriya, which is an aspect of learning Torah, is based on profound understanding of the text and involves knowledge of the written and oral Torah, Midrash, Halachas, and Agadas. The second kind of Kriya is the public proclamation of God's word. An independent mitzvah whose source is the pasuk Hakel es am vashmiyem es dvaray leman yilmedu liyira osi kol hayamim. It's in Dvarim Dalad Yud. Leman yilmedu es bneim. The mitzvah of hearing concerns only Torah shebichsav, which does not necessarily involve understanding. Both the mitzvah of Hakel and Kriyas HaTorah have the requirement of hearing. The Rambam's language in Hilchos Chagiga reflects this idea as well. Geirim, who are not familiar, are obligated to prepare their hearts and open their ears to listen with, like Har Sinai. The requirement of hearing associated with Hakel applies only to the written Torah, because in the oral Torah there is no fulfillment without comprehension. The Baal Tanya writes this way. The Baal Tanya says that there's a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichsav, you're yotzei a mitzvah of learning Torah, even if you don't understand it. Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebaal Peh, the only way you're yotzei the mitzvah is if you understand it. If you have no clue what's going on, you read a Mishnah, you don't get credit for learning if you don't know what's going on. But Chumash, if you read Chumash and don't understand, you get credit for Talmud Torah. So this is Baal Tanya. Rav Salvechik has a similar idea over here. He says, Kriyas HaTorah, if you listen to Kriyas HaTorah and you don't understand the word of what Chazan is saying by Kriyas HaTorah, you're still Yotzei in the midst of Kriyas. There's still an Inyan. What Inyan is that? What is that? You don't know what's flying? You're listening to Kriyas HaTorah, you went to Hakel. The little kids went to Hakel, or the women. Let's say at those times, the women didn't have an education. They didn't know what was flying. What's the point of coming to Hakel? You don't know what's flying. The little kids, the four-year-olds, didn't know what was flying. What's the point of bringing them there? So he says, no. There's something called Kavod HaTorah. This is Kavod Hashem. This is Hashem's Torah. This is a maimed of a public reading Torah. If you're there and you don't know, there's still Lishmoa. Anashim ba'im lilmod. Nashim ba'os Lishmoa. There's still a point to hearing words of Torah. Hearing words of Torah is a respect for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why? Because the Torah is a reflection of the Dvar Hashem. The Torah is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Yisrov Oreis of a Kutcher Brichu Chadu. The Torah is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the description of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So just being there while HaKadosh Baruch, whose name is being proclaimed out loud, that itself is an aspect of Talmud Torah. That's an aspect of Talmud Torah. It's fascinating.
That's the Iker you're saying?
He's saying a Chiddush that there's this idea of Kriya. The second kind of Kriya is the public proclamation of the Dvar Hashem. A public proclamation of the Dvar Hashem. Again, I said covered, right? He didn't really say that, but that's the way I understand it. An independent mitzvah whose source is verse. Again, it's Dvarim, he says the source in the Chumash is Dvarim Dalad Yud. Let's just briefly see what it says there by Dalad Yud. Listen to what he says. He says it's a fulfillment of this pasuk, Eli. It's this pasuk. Dalad Yud. Yom Hashem, and this was what happened in Har Sinai. Yom Hashem, what did Hashem say in Har Sinai? Hakeli Yisav, v'ashmiyem is Dvarai, ashel yilmedu liyira osi. It's a really different thing. This public, at Har Sinai, the public yelling out of the Divrei Torah was meant to like instill in people a yira, he says more. I said covet, but a yira of the Ribbono Shalom. This is the Dvar Hashem. This is Anoicha Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yilecha L'Kamachim Alpanayim. It wasn't so much the understanding, but it was the experience of having the Dvar Hashem set out in public. Again, it's
why is it different by Torah Shebaal Peh?
Because Torah Shebaal Peh is the human word. It's the principles again. It's the principles of Hashem's Torah. It was said at Har Sinai, God gave over the principles, but the actual words themselves are human. Are human. It's not the same thing. So you need understanding there to be yotzei mitzvah. You need understanding. So it says the Baal Tanya, but Rav Soloveitchik. Anyway, so again, Rav Soloveitchik was like a heart doctor who sees all the problems through the heart. Rav Soloveitchik was all about Talmud Torah. Rav Soloveitchik Talmud Torah was the beginning, middle, and you see what he says over here. He has one love. He has one love. So hopefully all of us, look, Yom Kippur was the day that we gave the Lucha Shnius. That got the Lucha Shnius was on Yom Kippur, right? The first Luchos we got on Shavuos. The second Luchos we got Yom Kippur, where you have Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh. The first time we had. So hopefully we should, this Yom Kippur, Habo Aleinu Letovo, you know, also, right? We say that Torah, look, I'm in that tradition. I was raised in the tradition of Torah study. That the Torah study is the primacy of Yiddishkeit. And all of you, by coming to a shir every Friday morning also, you also feel like Torah study is important. It's not enough just to be a Shomer Shabbos or a Shomer Kosher. Torah study is part of the heart, is part of the lifeblood of being a Jew. I've certainly experienced in my life that the more a person engages in Torah study, the more excited and alive and singing is his Yiddishkeit. So hopefully this Yom Kippur we should re-accept the Torah Shebaal Peh again, and it should be a year of being excited. If you can get to the Siyum HaShas, I would strongly, strongly urge it, because a lot of times that could be the motivating inspirer. We should all be written in the Book of Life. We should be zochet to, in the Book of Life, we should be zochet to have a year filled with Chaim, Bracha, Lanu, for each of our families, the Chol Beis Yisrael.